Welcome to the Six Eyes Gospel Show. You're tuned in with a host of people for the place where you can get your praise on without leaving the house. That's right, you can get your praise on right where you are, whether you're in your car, you're at your desk, where you're in front of, in your living room, or at your breakfast table. You can get your praise on here at the Six Eyes Gospel Show. We're here today with a bunch of folks. I just want to celebrate the Lord with you. Amen. And so we say welcome. Join the show. We have some good music coming. and a mighty word from the Lord on its way. Wow. We want to say stay tuned to the end of the program, because in our fellowship hall today, Missionary Ken and myself will be sharing with you all some of our most famous jokes. There's some good laughter. So since the Bible says that laughter does the body well like a medicine, we want to give you some medicine at the end of the program. Now, the Word of God is all good all by itself, but we don't want to be so heavenly minded till we're no earthly good. We want to enjoy life. Christ said, "I come that you may have life, and this life more abundantly." And so we want to have that abundant life with you in our fellowship time later on in the program. So I want you to stay tuned. Brother Six, if you got a good punchline, clean joke, and we emphasize clean. We emphasize clean jokes. If you have one of those, we want you to share with us at the end. Bring your joke. We should have gave you some heads up on it, but just in case you didn't get the memo, you got time. You got a good 1 hour and 30 minutes to think about your good punchline joke, you know. And so we want to. Ken got his. He already got his topic. He announced it last Monday. I have mine. Mine's going to be a duck joke. Yeah. Mine's going to be a duck joke. So it's coming. So we want, and if you don't have one, we want you to judge to see which one was more laughable. Amen. Not because we're laughable, but because the joke was good. Well, greet the folks, people. Y'all, your mics are on before we get started. Hey, say hello.
Hello, 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 everyone. Hello, everybody. Welcome.
Howdy
to
there,
this,
everybody.
This Gospel Show.
Have blessed everyone.
Amen. I hear Sister Ruthie there. Amen. God bless you. Amen. She might sneak one in. All we know, you know, she was talking about some good old jokes from back in the day with her folks and stuff. So she might sneak one in too, Brother Six.
I got the old kind. I don't do too much of the new ones, but Kenny's really, he's full of them, so no problem with him.
You see what I'm saying?
Amen.
You have to watch out for her. She might sneak one in. I think she's going to try to sneak one in.
Yeah. What about First Lady? You got any jokes?
First Lady has been a told the punchline before she tells the joke. So.
Oh, wow. Wow.
She was like, well, see, let me tell it right. And then she want to tell it over.
Yeah. Mama Six Eyes, she's on the phone with us. Yeah, she didn't get the joke bug either, you know. But out the family, they made it very clear. They say, stick to music, stick to radio, because you are not, no threat to Red Fox.
I don't know, man. When it comes to, there is a difference between actually telling punchline joke and just being comical. Because you got some, you know, we all know different comedians out there. Some are more funny in their personality, more so than what they're saying. So, and then there's others that got some punchlines that make you scratch your head and say, wow, and laugh at the same time. So it's definitely a skill involved, most natural talent involved. Most preachers have a little bit of comedian in them, I would say, being able to put a punchline out there to break the ice as they're going into their message. Joel Osteen is one of those preachers. He loves to start off his messages with some type of joke, something humorous before he gets into his message. And that's just his personality. And it's not always something that's ha ha ha, you know, just bust your stitches laughing, but it's a laughter because of the punchline itself, because it made you think about what was said and the reality that came out of it, you know, out of the humor. So something comical, a comment that made common sense, even though it was comical as well. So you got some. I may even tell one before I start my sermon today called collard greens.
Okay.
But anyway, about old June bug. Some people have heard it. Nevertheless, I'm looking forward to that this afternoon. All right, let's get started. Let's get started. Missionary Ken, if you'll open us up in a word of prayer, and Sister Ruth, if you get us a scripture reading for today, we can get started with the Six Eyes Gospel Show. God bless you, Mama Sanford, for being on the line with us on today, and the host of others. Hey, I see you calling in. God bless you coming on the line. Our new area code. All right. God bless you.
All right.
We hope you enjoy the program on today.
Might have my friend Melinda out there. So, Melinda, if you're out there, welcome. And we want to definitely say a prayer for her because this is the second year of her her mom's passing. So we definitely want to hold her up in prayer. We here at the Six Eyes Radio Network are here for you. So if you're listening by phone or internet, we're here for you. God bless, and welcome to the rest of the listeners from around the world. Thank you.
All right. Well, let's get started with that word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for another day. In you, we have another way, and we ask you right now, Lord Jesus, as we start this program, Lord Jesus, that we'd give you the wheel, that we'd try not to take it ourselves, Lord Jesus, but we give you the wheel, Lord Jesus. Let you have your way, your perfect will, so that that soul who is nearest hell, Lord Jesus, be able to reel up the white flag and surrender, saying, I yield, I yield. Knowing that your word, Lord, says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So let this day be their day. Let them get in contact with us so we can rejoice with them in a newfound joy, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, for the team of the Six Eyes Radio Network, we ask a special blessing. Do pray so they can keep on keeping on for you, whether it be mental, spiritual, physical, or financial, Lord Jesus. And then for your children, we ask the same blessing so they can keep on keeping on for you, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, for those dealing with COVID-19, Lord Jesus, we ask a special blessing, Lord Jesus. For those, first of all, the family and friends who have lost someone due to COVID-19, we ask you to touch them right now, Lord Jesus, as only you can. Send your Holy Spirit to comfort them as only you can, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, for those who are dealing with COVID-19 as we speak, we ask you to raise them up out of the bed of affliction as only you can. And then, Lord Jesus, for situations like George Floyd and all the other wicked, dirty, rotten situations that we read in the newspapers, hear about on the radio, hear about on the television, and read about in the newsprint, Lord Jesus, you got mail. We need to learn to love our neighbors as ourselves. In so doing, we'd be loving the omnipresent neighbor who is you, Lord Jesus. Now we turn this program once again over into your keeping, for it's in your name we pray and ask it all. Amen and amen.
Amen. Amen.
Come on, Sister Rufy, with our scripture reading.
Revelation chapter 22. We're going to go from 1 to 7. Revelation 22, verses 1 through 7. And he showed me a pure water, river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, for the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to shew unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book.
Amen. Amen. That's Revelation?
Yeah, 22, 1 through 7.
Hello, I'm Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang.
And I'm Emily Barnum.
And we're Blind Trucking of Ashtabula, Ohio.
Keep your hands on the wheel.
And your eyes on the road.
And we support this program.
Here on the Six Eyes
Radio Network.
What is the church? Is the church a building? Is the church a pastor? Or the staff? Is the church the music, the tradition, or the ministries? These are all good things, but they are not the church. Take them away, and the church is still here. Why? Because you are still here. The church is you. The church is you with a purpose. The church is you on a mission. The church is you with a plan. A simple plan to plug into God at a weekend service. To charge up in a small group community, to live out using your gifts and passions, and to pass on your faith to those who do not know Christ. When you and I live like this, all the things we used to do in church become things we do as the church. God desires it. The world needs it. And we are called to be it. What is the church? The church is you.
Yesterday we had choir rehearsal, but now we can sing it for real. Come on, help us sing this song. Lord is my shepherd, everybody.
Lord is my shepherd.
He goes before me.
He goes before me.
Defender behind me.
Defender behind me.
Y'all been practicing. I won't fear.
I won't fear.
Filled with anointing.
I'm filled with anointing.
My cup overflowing.
My cup overflowing.
No weapon can harm me.
No weapon can harm me.
I won't fit.
I won't.
Look, God, sing hallelujah.
Right there. He always got me.
He always got me.
My victory. overflow in this place. Have your way in this place. We want more in this place. Have your way. Everybody sing over in this place. Have you in this place. We want more in this place. Something real like doing nothing without you. We can't walk without you. We can't talk without you. And we can't live without you. Your way is just a prayer. We can't walk without you. We can't
whatever you have to do, have it. The favor of God stops your being manipulated by the circumstances. People say, well, under the circumstances, so-and-so. Well, what are you doing under the circumstances? With the favor of God, you're supposed to be on top of the circumstances. Stop being manipulated by circumstances. Stop worrying about the unknown. Some of you are young and you're worried about the unknown. Stop it. If you have favor with God, it will be well with you. It will be well with your children. It will be well with all you put your hands to, because the favor of God is already in the future, working out the future. Things you don't even know are about to happen. God has already straightened them out in your behalf, because you and you and you are favored of God.
Hello, I'm Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang.
And I'm Emily Barnum.
And we're Blind Trucking of Ashtabula, Ohio.
Keep your hands on the wheel.
And your eyes on the road.
And we support this program.
Here on the Six Eyes
Radio Network.
I'm so excited to debut for you my brand new single, Work, from the new project. This song is so special to me because this song is all about love. It's all about the fact that greatest love is the Savior that will give his life to both you and the world. I think in this world that we live in, we're reminded enough of what we'll never become, what we'll never do, and what we can't do. But I want you to know today that he thought you were worth saving. He thought you were worth dying for. He thought you were worth keeping. And because of all of that, not only am I worth it, but so is you. Check it out.
You thought I was worth saving. You came and changed my life. You thought I was worth keeping. So you cleaned me up inside. You thought I was to die for. You sacrificed your life so I could be free, so I could be whole, so I could tell everyone that you can't.
They all have our signature ways to serve up fresh. And the last thing you want to do is to run.
Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. You thought I was worth it, glory to God. So you sacrificed your life so that I can be free. Truly, we are blessed today. I'm ready for the word of God. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Truly, God has been good to us. Whether we recognize it or not, we have life in our bodies. Amen. As I love to say all the time, my name made the woke list. Somebody didn't wake up this morning. And somebody that got up this morning hasn't made it to this afternoon. So we want to tell God, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for giving me life, health, and a reasonable portion of health, and a reasonable portion of strength. God has given that to us on this day. So this is the day that the Lord has made. I choose to be glad and rejoice in it. I will. I don't know about you. I can't speak to you, but I will rejoice and be glad in this day because God did not have to give me this day on this side of glory. He could have said, okay, time's up. Oh, my God, thank you, Lord Jesus, for another opportunity to see my loved ones, another opportunity to see and to be a part of even this program. Amen. And so I'm glad today just to be in the presence of the Lord. The Bible says where two or three gather together in his name, there he shall be in the midst. So we have joined together. Together today in unity. We just didn't group together. Pastor Calhoun gave an example this morning about grouping together. The Bible says where God sees unity, there he commands a blessing. If you ever bought a box of puzzles, amen, somebody. In that box of puzzles are all the pieces to make a picture. But what is in that box is the potential of a wonderful canvas. But until it becomes unified, it will stay chaotic, even though they're together. See, many of us are coming together today. But we're not unified. We're not collective on one accord to show or to reveal the one picture, the one vision. we all have our own personality. We all have our own individuality, and we want that to shine above the call of God for our lives. Therefore, many of us end up having division instead of univision, that one single vision, that one purpose. You know, we all have two eyes in our heads. And then if you are sighted and you have both eyes operating, there's something that does not happen. You have two eyes, but you only see one picture. You only see one scene. And so whether your eyes look to the left or look to the right or look up or look down, it is the single picture of what's before you. And if you're going to make anything successful, we must learn to look to the left together, look to the right together, look up together, look down together. When we do it together, then we see the blessing that God has commanded. It was amazing how in the upper room, they had been there for 10 days, Missionary Candy had been there for 10 days, 10 long days already. So they was already together. But it was only on that 10th day where their prayers was in sync, their cries was unified together for the Lord. Did the Holy Spirit come into that upper room in a mighty, miraculous way? And I believe today that when you and I come together, whether we're coming together over the airways, over the cell phones, or in person, the fact is when we come together for the single purpose of fulfilling what God has planned for that hour, for that moment, then and only then can we experience the true blessings of the Father. It is in that unity that God himself has said, where he sees unity, there he commands the blessing. It's amazing that even bad people can get together and do something that's ungodly, self-serving, and will find a blessing in it. Before I get to my message today, I'm reminded in the Old Testament, there was a, in Genesis, we see the Tower of Babel. And we see that the people of that day had came together and had said to themselves, we're going to build a monument that reached the heavens. We're going to reach something that will go as high as we want it. And the people were so unified in this wrong direction for many reasons. We won't go into it. But they were unified to the Bible. The languages, so that this one will speak one language and another will speak a different language. And because they haven't came together enough speaking those different languages, they had no understanding of what each other was saying, even though the same goal was still there. But now the language had changed, therefore chaos came in. And they were not able to build the Tower of Babel because God confused the language to stop this wrongful project. But nevertheless, here we see the power of unity. Amen, somebody. This monthly emphasis is unity, a key to success. Unity, a key to success. Today I want to bring you a particular thing, and this is entitled To Be Unified with God. To be unified with God. To be unified with God. Now, there's a song sung by many different artists, and it was Walk With Me, Lord. I walk with me, Lord. Many people sung the song. We had Bishop G. Patterson had it in his on his album. And we had people like Sean Pace that sung the song, Walk With Me. Great musicians like Carlton Pearson singing the song, and believe it or not, Brother Charles, we even had Tina Turner sung the song back in the day, Walk With Me, Lord. There's something about walking with the Lord that people want God. Lady Vi sung the song, Walk With Me, Lord. Vanessa Bell Armstrong sung the song, Walk With Me, Lord. It was something in the song that asked God to join them in their Christian journey, that asked God to walk with them as they walk along life's journey. The statement was they didn't want to walk life's journey without God walking with them. And I want to say all of that sound good. And I was going to play the song, and I still may play it at the end of my message just to bring it back. To walk with us, Lord. To walk with us, Lord. But before we can the question here is, or the thought that I have here is, we're asking God to walk with us. Yes, yes, yes. And that's a good thing, to ask God to walk with you. But the Bible says, over in Amos, chapter 3, verses 3. It asks the question, it asks this very important question, and that is, can two walk together except they agree? Can two walk together except they agree? Well, if I'm trying to take something that belongs to someone else, how can I ask God to walk with me? If I'm going out to do mischief and wrongdoing, how is it that I can ask God to walk with me? If I'm trying to build a relationship that God have already condemned or spoken against, how can I ask God to walk with me? If I'm building something that is not a beneficial to the community, how is it can I ask God to walk with me? I was on the Facebook earlier and flipping through a few things. I saw an old clip from a program that featured the guy named Rock. And this particular caption that took place was him confronting a drug dealer that had moved in to the community, he had a meeting with the people of the community so that they would come together to stand against drugs coming in the community. It was one of those heart-reaching messages. It's amazing that we don't have programming like that today. where people will make a stand to make sure that their community is being maintained safe and secure. We don't see black men coming together and standing for the betterment of their community on programs like that. And so what we saw here was a family that was saying to the drug dealer, no, you can't. I know you think you're doing this, and the dude was talking about, I'm an entrepreneur, I'm a businessman. But his business was selling. Can you imagine that individual asking God to walk with him? Do you want God to really walk with the mob, those of organized crime? Do you think you think God will walk with them? You know, a lot of people pay tithes and that itself commands a certain level of financial security and safety. But do you think that God himself, his spirit, is actually walking with those that work iniquity, that worketh unrighteousness? Many people are praying and saying, God bless you and God this, and many people are using the word or the term God. But is God really with them? Are they really walking with God? I pose that question today to make us think. Now, it's easy for us to point out the big sin, fornication, adultery, and killing and murder and all of that stuff. It's easy to point out the big stuff, but then there's some small sins, brothers and sisters. Sin is disobedience to God's word. So many small sins, and do we take our little white lies and tell God to walk with us? Lord, I know this ain't the truth, but they don't need to know the whole thing, so bless it. You think God is pleased with that? You think God wants to walk with you while you're conducting actions that speaks against his word when he said we shouldn't bear false witness? We should not tell lies. You think he wants us to do that? You think he wants to walk along with us while we make excuses for being unneighborly, for not loving our neighbor as ourselves? You think God wants us to turn our faces to those that are impoverished, those that are sick, and we have the wherewithal to help their circumstance? You think it's okay for us to ask God to walk with us while we are conducting ourselves contrary to what he said? And it's food for thought, just food for thought. I'm not judging. And if I was, it's only according to the word of God. Here's the thing about judgment. The Bible doesn't tell me not to judge. It just informs me that however I judge, that shall be measured to me again. So you and I should judge. Do you have a driver's license? Are you driving a motor vehicle? Are you in operation of one? Then it's for you to make a judgment on whether or not you're going to beat that yellow light, or are you going to run the red light and potentially cause an accident. And so you make a judgment that you see kids on the side of the road, and although you can go 35, they're a little too close to the edge. They're a little young. And just because you can go 35, do it mean that you shouldn't slow down to 25 just in case? You are operating a two-ton vehicle. Does it mean that because the dashboard says 120 that you can go 120. Now, you have to make judgment. Life itself gives us to do that. When you walk into the room and you want to rest, most of us don't just take random seats, but all of us depend on the seat just to hold our weight. And so the same faith and same action that we take with these things, we should apply them to all of our daily lives. We want the Lord to walk with us, true enough. But can we walk with the Lord? Shouldn't we want to walk with him? Because after all, he's the leader. Shouldn't our desire be to follow Christ? I think that's what the Apostle Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. So we as spiritual leaders, regardless of our title, position, shouldn't our actions be follow me as I follow Christ? Why? Because we are following the leader. Remember that game when we were kids, follow the leader? And you had to do what the leader did. You had to respond the way the leader responded. Or maybe you were the one that played basketball in the street or down at the neighborhood corner park. And there was a game we used to play called horse. And whatever shot the leader made, the people that came behind, they had to make the same shot. So it wasn't that your shot couldn't be spectacular. You just had to follow the leader. Are we following God's example? Are we doing the thing that Christ did years ago? It was real popular for a moment. You had armbands, T-shirts, and different things, and everybody was WWJD. What would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? And everywhere you were turning around, people had that little saying. But I believe that brought about a certain judgment that many people realize, wait a minute, I'm not doing what Jesus said to do. So let me stop saying this. And so all of a sudden, it just started dying out. And you would think that we're the believers, we would have kept that saying going. What would Jesus do? Because that's how we should approach our situation. Time to pay taxes. What would Jesus do? He'd pay his taxes. Don't like to hear stuff like this. But it's true, it's right, whether we like it or not. How can we walk with God and we don't agree with God? The Bible says, can two walk? We like to ask the question, how can two walk together? Except they agree. Because if I want to go right and you want to go left, we are divided. We are split in two. So now here comes the total distraction. There was a CEO, very newly appointed chief operational officer, and as he was coming into the business, he set up a meeting for all leaders of the corporation, invited them to a meeting, and in the meeting, he came and he was presented and he introduced themselves, and they all knew the position of the CEO. And as he began to share with them the vision that he had for the corporation, of his vision for show them what they were going to need to do in the upcoming quarterly so that they will meet goals of And in front of each of these leaders, management, department heads, was a pen and paper, a tablet. And he said to each of them, I want you to take about 5 or 10 minutes here, and I want each of you to write down your vision for this company. Nothing full detail, but your overall vision for this company, your 1, 2, and 3-step vision for the company. And as they wrote down, he asked them to tear the paper off and pass it down to him. And he said, we don't want this to be personal. You didn't have to put your name on it and all of that. We just want to. And in front of each of them, he gathered the papers and he read the first out of his hand, hold it up, took away from the drawing board. He read the next one, man. He said, wow, okay, all right. And he balled it up, and he threw it in the wastebasket. And he did this as he went through all of the papers that was passed down. And in shock and dismay, as the people around the table began to murmur, why would he tell us to write these down and if all he's going to do is ball them up and throw them in the trash? And finally, he acknowledged some of the whispers. We took time and we wrote our vision, and some you even smiled at and nodded your head to, but yet, nevertheless, you took our visions and you threw them in the trash. Why? Why did you throw our visions in the trash? And he said, I'm so glad that you asked the question. Now I can make it clear for all of you. He said, in the beginning of this meeting, what did I, the head, do? And they said, huh? He said, did I not present to you all the future plan for this company? And they said, yes, you did. You presented to us your step one, step two, for each quarter that we must accomplish so that we may be successful. He said, then every vision that you all wrote that did not line up with what I stated is division. And in sadness, they begin to awe and realize that although they had came to the meeting together, they really wasn't together. And it was in that action that he showed them true unity is to have one vision. He said, I've given you the vision for this company. And if you're going to remain in your position of leadership, your vision now must be what I presented. Could it be the troubles in our lives? Ooh, God help today. It's because we haven't unified with God. We haven't lined up with his vision of kingdom development, of kingdom growth. How can you say that, Pastor Bonnet? easy. He said, Matthew 6:33, seek first. Seek first the kingdom. First. But yet we still seek our own businesses, our own success, our own happiness, our own pleasure. Yet we're still going after things first. Not realizing that as part of the kingdom, our vision have to line up that brings support to the primary vision. Otherwise, it's division. And we are truly not unified. Help today, God. This message is not one to make you run and shout and jump around the church or run and shout. And this is not one that is designed just to make you just so overfilled with joy. But this is a message that should stop us in our tracks and make us think about not just what we are doing, but why. Why am I doing what I'm doing? Can God truly get the glory out of the things that I am doing? Is God pleased with me now? See, I know that you're 7 times 3 and then some more. Yeah, I know that you're grown and you can make your own decision. I know all of that. Those are nice things. But the trouble is, when you do something different than what you was designed to do, when you're not being who God says you are, when you're not trusting the plan that he has for you, Jeremiah 1, he tells Jeremiah, before I formed you, I knew you. Not that I'm getting to know you. Not that I'm trying to understand you. God says, before you were formed in the womb, I have already ordained for your life. What you and I have to understand is that there's an anointing that flows from the head down. That means the anointing starts at the top and flows downward. Psalm 133. The 133rd division of song. David writes, how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Then he compares it. He said, it's like the ointment that flow from Aaron's head down through his beard and then through his skirt. And so in other words, the oil of authority, the anointing that keeps parasites from sticking to you, and the blessing of the Father comes to the head. Now here's my real concern. And once again, I'm not talking about any one particular body. I'm simply talking about what I'm talking about, and that is something that will bless all of us if we receive it the right way. The problem is God had allowed Adam to already establish the word marriage for us. What is a marriage? The Bible shows us in Genesis that God put Adam to sleep, took a rib out of Adam, and took that rib and formed for Adam a help meet. Because Adam had duties and obligations and responsibilities that he could not do alone. Now, prior to that, Adam was already working. Look at the text. Read the text. Take time to read the text. I would read it, but I need you to go back and verify what I'm saying. Adam had already began to name the animals. And whatever Adam called each animal, it is their name still today. Can you imagine, Sister Ruth, an ant being called an elephant? That just don't make sense. Well, you know, this is 2021 now, and we think it's not. Ant is such a minute word. Let's call ants now elephants. Let's change the definition. Now we're no longer gonna call lions lions. We're gonna call them coyotes, because it's not fair to the coyotes. So we're gonna call coyotes lions. We don't see any tampering with nature names. Their nature, their characteristic has been the same since the beginning of time. So, when God formed Eve, he didn't name her. He did not name her. He simply provided a female slash a male. And he presented working. Sisters, take note. If you say God showed you your husband, he only presented you to a man that was working. God didn't present you to no drug dealer, no lazy bum, no sorry joker, no abuser. He presented Eve to Adam, a man working God's plan. And in this, Adam himself spoke, because that was his authority in that time, is to put order in all of the earth. And so Adam says, your name going to be Eve, for you are bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. And for this cause, shall a man leave both mother and father and cleave to his own wife. Marriage is established by the one who had total authority on how to govern God's plan. Adam gave it then, and although Adam erred, and allowed sin to come in, what he put in order still is the right order. Therefore, when two men come together and call it a marriage, there can't be two heads. That's a beast. When two women come together, there is no head. That's a creature. That's all I got to say about it. It's not an attack against how nice you are, what you do in the world, what you have provided for your family. Has nothing to do with that. Has everything to do with revealing to you how can you walk with God when you disagree with what he's established. How? How can two walk together except they agree? That's my question. If you have an answer, write the station. Let us know. We'll listen. But if it's contrary to what's written in the Word of God, that's all we can do is listen. Cannot validate anything contrary to the will of God. Why? He said, be ye holy as your heavenly Father, as your Father in heaven is also holy. So what is holy? For us to be holy, it is to simply be in agreement. What to be in agreement mean? It's to unify. It's to be at one with. It's simple. In these last few fleeting moments, let me take a couple steps to the side and add here how to be unified with God. Now, I'm not going to go into all of these definitions, because this is how you honor God. To honor God is to be unified with him. To be unified with him, the first step in the seven steps that I will present to you today are, in order to be unified with God, you first must be a son of God or a child of God. Mm-hmm. You first must be a son of God or child of God in order to be unified with God. I'm going to say it again. You first must be a child of God, a son of God, in order to be in unity with God. In other words, if you don't believe in the one true God, if you don't believe in the right God, then you're not unified with him. Because you can't be unified with something you don't know or something you don't believe in. Regardless of whatever actions you may be doing in the world, to unify with God, be his. To belong to his family. So, simple way of saying you must be born again. You must be a child of God to be unified with God. In order to ever be unified with God, you first must be a child of God. St. John chapter 1, verse 12. That's step number one. That's key number one to unity, to unify with God. Unifying with God is a key to success. So one of the keys of unity is first, be a son. Second key is to be a steward. That word steward comes from, if we break it down, stick word, which means keepers of the house, keeper of one's other's property. The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof and all they that dwell therein. This world belongs to our daddy because we are sons. We're children of God, so this world belongs to our daddy. So we must be a steward. We must keep the house. So if I'm mindful of nobody's issues, if I'm not trying to help nobody in the world but myself, then I am not being a steward, at least not a good steward. Okay? So I must be a steward through my faithfulness. That's my continuous belief. Amen. We see that over in First Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2. I'm just going to give them to you, let you read them at your leisure. Amen. Number three, the third key in unifying with the Father, or to be unified with God. Number one, I must be a son. Number two, I need to be a son by faith. That's being saved. Amen. Number two, I must be a steward through faithfulness. That's continuous service, continuous trust. Amen. And number three, I must be a soldier. I must have a soldier's faith. Amen. That means I fight this fight through faith, not my fist, but through my trust in his word. I trust in him and lean not to my own understanding, acknowledging him in all my ways so he will direct my path. So I'm a soldier, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. Amen. And I wrestle, that's number four, I learn to wrestle. I know y'all thought WrestleMania was just some more entertainment on TV, but in the spirit realm, I must wrestle against spiritual wickedness. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Sometimes you need to, we used to call that thing DDT. I don't know if y'all remember what that was. A DDT is when you stand before someone and you grab their head and you fall backwards, causing their head to hit the ground. Wouldn't that be a wonderful move to put on the devil? The devil done got all up in your face, trying to intimidate you, trying to make you feel less than this and that, and you just grabbed him by the head and just dropped and let his forehead hit that mat, hit the concrete or whatever. Yeah, man, I don't know. That maybe that's just me. Maybe that's just Pastor Bonnet. So if you ain't got that valid streak, that okay, leave it over here with me. I'm a fight. I'm going to wrestle against the enemy because we wrestle against spiritual wickedness. We wrestle against those things that will try to exalt themselves above who God is. Amen, somebody. Amen. My apologies. I thought my line hung up on me. Amen. And so, therefore, we learn to wrestle against spiritual wickedness. The Bible said we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness in high places. We see that over in Ephesians chapter 6. So we learn how to wrestle in the spirit. Sometimes that's where that prayer and fasting life comes from, showing us how to wrestle, how to don't allow the enemy just to dominate over us. Amen. And something we have to wrestle with. It's not, in other words, it's not an easy fight. It's not something that happens overnight, but there's a tussling. Amen. True wrestling, when I was in high school, true wrestling, you know, you're trying to position yourself where you can put a hold on the other person to put them in what's called a pending move so that you can win. The enemy is trying to maneuver us to a point where he can pin us. or to keep us from moving freely. But when we do this in the spirit realm, we keep him from moving freely through our wrestling, through our lives. Amen. Number five, key number five, I must be a workman of good works. We're not saved because of good works, but we are saved so that we can do good works. We see that in Ephesians and in Titus, that we're saved to do good works. So we're no longer bound to sin. So we are no longer debtors to sin. So we don't have to do bad things. We now can work the work of faith. Amen. And faith without works is dead. So we must work some faith. Amen. Most of all, number six, we must be vessels. Vessels. You know, a vessel is something like a cup, a vase. You know, you got to pour some good coffee in a good cup. Amen. To my coffee drinkers. All my coffee drinkers, I know you got your mug, but it's nothing like drinking coffee out of a good ceramic cup. You know, with a good ceramic cup, it seems like your coffee just tastes better. I got the sterling silver cups and all of that. But that's a good, nice cup, man. I tell you, having the right vessel makes the difference. Because you can use plastic cup and drink coffee out of it. But if you had tea or a soda in that plastic cup before, depending on how well it was washed or how often you drunk the other thing, you may go to drink out of it and it tastes like what you had last. And so if you wanted water, and you normally drink your coffee out of a plastic cup, you go to drink that water, and you know it's water, but it sure tastes like coffee. So having the right vessel makes a difference in the taste. That means everybody can't preach to everybody. Everybody can't minister to everybody. Sometimes you have to be prepared for the ministry God has for you. So preparation is in order. Amen. So being a vessel. And then you don't want, as a vessel, you don't want anything, just anything in you. None of my cups are for flowers that I bring home to the wife. No. We got vases for that. Now, I know you're trying to find, now, get the vase. Pull the vase down. If you don't see the one over there, get the one over yonder. Find the, why? Because it has purpose. So you and I, we have purpose and vessels for God. That's what's unique. All of this. I have china. I don't use my china much anymore, but it has purpose. Everything has purpose. All vessels have purpose, you know. And so know your purpose as a vessel here filled by God. And you know you're filled by God because Jeremiah 18:4 said that we was marred in the potter's hand. I mean, God shaped us. Amen. Acts 9, he tells us that we're chosen vessels. Amen. And you get over in Ephesians 5, and you'll see that we're filled by the Spirit. So not only does God make us, and not only do God chooses us, but then God desires to fill us so that we may fulfill the purpose in which we was shaped, that word marred, that shaped to be. Amen. And finally, and I'm closing, the final key here on to be unified with God is to be a servant. Jesus said he came to serve, and if he's being the Lord and we're not greater than him, how much should we serve one another? You and I, believers, you and I as believers, you and I as born-again Christians, you and I as sons and daughters of the Most High God, you and I as heirs to the kingdom of God, you and I, most of all, must be servants, willing to do what Daddy wants, looking to meet the needs in our Father's kingdom. 2 Timothy 4 tell us to do the work of an evangelist. Preach the word, be in season, out of season, all of that. That means we should be looking for something to do. There's nothing worse, than a person that goes on a job and says, there ain't nothing to do. When I was a retail manager, the worst thing people under me could say to me, well, there ain't nothing to do. This is a retail business. That's always, even if there's no customers, there's some stocking that need to be done. There's some organization that need to be done. There's some cleaning that need to be done. There's some rotation of stock need to be done. There's some checkings of dates that need to be done. There's always something that needs to be done. And if you have the mindset in the kingdom of God, there's nothing for you to do, then you are not looking. Because God works in excess. There's always something to do. If there was no more need for you and I, he would simply call us home. Simply. So, in conclusion, my statement today, in order for you to walk with the Lord, you need to be unified with God first so that you can walk with him, so that he can stand by you, so he can be there for you. So we want the Lord to walk with us. We want the Lord to guide us. We want the Lord to keep us. And after this song from Soundtrack of G. Patterson, I want you to be blessed by it. I like what she said, that she reminded me of Sister Ruth when she said, I just love having church. Thank you. Father God, we pray for our listeners today. We pray for them that they may have a closer relationship with you. We pray for those that have not chosen you to be their Lord and Savior, that they will make the sound decision to say, Lord, come into my life, save my soul. I believe that Christ died on the cross for my sins. I believe that he rose from the dead with all power of life and death in his hands. Now come into my life and give me power over the enemy that I may live the life that I'm supposed to live. Lead me, guide me, Father God. In the name of Jesus, I pray. And I receive Holy Spirit, come into my heart. Give me understanding to that which I do not understand. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. If you said that prayer, you're saved. You're born again. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and all things become new. God bless you. God keep you. We're going into our fellowship time. Hey, Missionary Ken, come on. Sister Ruth, come on. Brother Charles, come on. And others.
Amen. Thank you.
On the
Thank
line,
you for that beautiful message.
If you'd like to have a voice, just press one on your dial. God bless you.
Thank you for that beautiful message. And if you'd like to help keep this station continue bringing you great programming, you have two options to give a love offering. If you use the PayPal platform, the email address you will enter is SIXEYES, the digit number 6, at gmail.com. Once again, for the PayPal users, that is email address SIXEYES, the digit number 6, at gmail.com. And whatever God puts in your heart to help us keep bringing you great programming will be greatly appreciated. If you utilize the Cash App, that would be $SIXEYES, the digit number 2, the digit number 4. And again, whatever God puts in your heart to help us keep bringing you great programming will be greatly appreciated. Thank you.
All right.
Amen.
That was a good time today, Pastor Bonnie.
Thank you so very much. God bless you. Thank you so very, very much. Amen. We're in our bonus time, guys. Hey, let's have at it. Amen. We got Sister Ruthie with our pepper trap, and we're waiting on Missionary Ken. I would say we can flip the proverbial coin, but then neither one of us would see what side that's going to fall on. So if you're ready with your joke, you can come on with yours, and I'll follow.
All right, well, let me start it off.
Well, actually, let's six start it off, then you do yours, because mine is kind of lengthy, and I'll let you guys do yours first.
All right. Are you ready?
He's trying to bring up the rear. I guess he must be the anchor man.
Performing every Sunday in the fellowship hall. You will get great jokes from me. Now, are you ready? Now, this is my showstopper right here. Are you ready?
Who's there?
Nobody.
Who's there?
Nobody.
Nobody who?
Thank you.
Can they just split the scene?
Yeah, I'm a killer with stuff like that.
I was a good one, Six, I'll tell you.
Go right ahead, Ruth. Go right ahead.
My joke, or you want my thing first? Okay. So I have different jokes, but I'll give you a short one.
All right, we're ready.
This is about, now, when you want to do a pickup line for a Christian singles church, okay? You worship here often. Read any good Bible passages lately? I think you're sitting on my Bible. I'm Episcopalian. What's your sign? Don't worry. I'm attracted to you purely in a spiritual way. Hi, Angel. Hi, Bob. We go over to my place for a little devotional. What's your, what's a charismatic like you doing in a mainline place like this? My prayers are answered, and hi, is this view taken? Oh, my. I think you guys like that one.
You had a melody of punchlines. I covered those. That was, I think you're sitting on my Bible.
Well, see, I wanted to get something that was more appropriate for radio than, you know, doing something with soft color. So I decided I'm going to grab this, and I guess Tim's going to need it because he's got to find the right woman in church.
Yeah, hi, what's your sign? I'm the presentation. No, this is okay. Yeah, okay. I was good. That was good. That was good. That was good. Okay, it's my turn. It's my turn. All right.
Yep.
Okay. There were these three guys that passed on, and they went to the gate where St. Peter's was, and he was bringing them into paradise. And as he was bringing them into their paradise, he warned them. He said, listen, we're not going to let you go to heaven just yet. We're going to have you here in paradise. But it's just as good. You see all these ducks? We want you to know that God loves ducks. And so because he loves ducks, in this portion of the paradise, they are there as his eyepiece. So you can enjoy all of paradise you want with one exception. Do not bother the ducks. Don't step on the ducks. Do not hurt the ducks. Do not eat the ducks. Do not hunt the ducks. Leave the ducks alone. Have I made myself clear? St. Peter said. And the three men answered appropriately, yes, sir. And they was living and enjoying their life, and 100 years went by. And one of the guys, one day, he slipped, and he failed and rolled down the hill, and he hit a duck, and poof, he disappeared. And the two guys looked at each other and said, what happened? What happened? What happened? Oh, no. Oh, man, that was an accident, though. Wow. He said, don't hurt the ducks. So, man, maybe he's gone to the other place. Oh, no. And so very carefully, they live the next 100 years avoiding the ducks, doing all that they can not to stumble and fall and cause harm to the ducks. Well, about 500 years went by, and one day the one guy was a little agitated with the other, and he threw a stone, and it skipped across the water. The same time it was skipping across the water, one of the ducks was floating by. And it hit the duck. And poof, it disappeared. And the man said, oh, man, I'm all alone now. I'm just here with these ducks. Wow. I'm all alone. I have no one to talk to. Can't bother the ducks because he said, leave the ducks alone. So another 100 years go by, and one day, poof, he finds himself chained to a most beautiful woman he has ever seen in his life. Head to toe, she was gorgeous. She was everything a man could ever dream of in a woman. He was like, wow, this must be my reward. Yes, Lord, yes, 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 yes. Negatives and everything. And he was, yes, yes, yes. And she was there crying. And he said, what's wrong, what's wrong? She said, I didn't mean to step on that duck. Y'all slow, but y'all worth waiting on.
I got it.
Y'all slow, but y'all worth waiting on. That's my duck joke. And then he said, huh? She said, all I did was step on a joke duck. So, all right, we're ready for you, kid. Come on.
No, Kenny.
All right. Now, you have to understand, this takes aboard, this is a joke about airplanes, of being aboard an airplane, okay? Now, when you first get aboard an airplane and you sit down, the stewardess, they start with these little hand signals and they start giving you the safety instructions, right? And they say, we want you to notice the safety exits that are nearest you. There's the two in the front, the two in the rear, and one over each wing. What are they really saying when they give you those hand signals? What they're really saying is, if I don't get out of here, none of you do. And then they say, your seat cushion could be used for flotation. Now, that's great news. When you're flying over Arizona or Kansas, you jump out of an airplane with a slab of foam rubber, you're going to end up being buried where you make the crater. You won't need a tombstone. It'll say Delta right on it.
Yeah.
And you know what, Pastor Bonnet? Those seat cushions aren't much better over open water.
It ain't going to do no good unless they're over water.
They ain't much better over open water because there are carnivorous fish waiting to eat you up. You know, dun, 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 dun. Does that mean anything to you? And then you just, now if you're my size, Pastor Bonnet, you'd have to have one seat cushion under each arm. You hit the water looking like a sandwich.
Yeah, you get in there looking like lunch. They like,
come
on,
say, speed up food. And then a second shark come along and say, hey, did that give you a heartburn? The first shark would say, yeah, but look how much better I float.
Yes.
And then you go to the restroom on the airplane, right? And they got this little sign. No foreign objects in the toilet. What a drag. I like to go to a foreign country, spend all my money on souvenirs that I just can't afford, and then sneak aboard a Delta jet and throw them all into the toilet. You know, Russian hat. Jalapeno cheese. Oh, no foreign objects in the toilet. Okay, American cheese. And then when you're sitting on the airplane just after as you get on there, right, you got the seat in front of you. It's got the magazines and stuff and a little headset so you can listen to the music coming from underneath your chair, right? There's this little paper bag. And on it, now, of course, the stewardess never tells you what it's for. They don't stand up there and say, now, for those of you that may, when we're flying and we go up and down and up and down and side to side, and we have just fed you one of those great airplane meals and it's sitting on your stomach like a sack of wet rags, right?
Uh-huh.
You may feel motion discomfort, use this bag. They don't say that. But on Delta, they decided to print on their bags in 5 different languages what the bag is used for.
What is that?
At the top of the bag, it's in American. It says, for motion discomfort. That means when your wife is tired at the shopping mall, she can ram her feet in that bag.
Well.
Then you got it in Spanish. Okay? Then they got it in Chinese. Then, of course, it's in Russian. For Lutheran night. Now, if you want to know what that means, just sound it out. Looking for Monsieur Ralph. And his brother, O'Rourke. And then at the bottom of the bag, Pastor Bonnet, it has the most useful piece of information. After use, fold down top. Oh, really? Like I'm going to sit there in the seat and hold that bag in my lap for and say, well, I didn't have it in me, you know? And then it says this piece of information. For bag disposal, contact flight attendant. I don't know what she's going to do with the bag. They're made in Canada. She can't throw them in the toilet. There you go, my guys.
All right.
Thank you.
Yes,
thank you.
All of those was airplane jokes. Those were good.
That's good.
I got one more for you. I meant to tell it at the top, but I got one more. There was a young man named Junebug. Every year that Junebug, he would help his father to plant the garden. Junebug, father was up in age, and Junebug liked to go and party and play. And each year he would help his father plant the collard greens and then go and play. Well, one year Junebug got in trouble and with the feds, and Junebug got arrested. And Junebug dad decided to write him a letter. And he said, "Dear Junebug, I have been missing you. I'm getting very old, and this year the ground was very hard. And I don't think I'm going to be able to plant my collard greens this year because it's being too hard for me to turn the soil. Nevertheless, if you was here, I know that you will help me. Stay safe. Love you, your dad." Junebug gets the letter in prison, and he thinks to himself, "I got to help my dad. I've always helped my dad, and I've never been not there for him." So he writes a letter, and he says in the letter, and says Junebug was the third, his dad was Junebug the second. He said, "Dear Dad, whatever you do, as you try to turn the soil this year, please, do not dig on the north side of the house. That is where I planted all the bodies. Love you, Junebug the third." Well, the following day, FBI agents everywhere began to come to Junebug the second's house. And they dug and 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 dug. Before you knew it, the entire north side of the farm was completely dug up. Following that, 3 days later, was another letter. Dear Dad, being that I am in great, this was the best that I can do. Go ahead and plant your seed. Signed, Junebug the Third. Wait. Yeah, look, the worst way. Junebug had the FBI to dug up all the dug, turned the soil because he was locked up.
Okay,
and
got
the, and the FBI came turning the soil looking for the dead bodies.
Got you. So they did the work for Dad.
Absolutely.
Got you. Okay, I got that one. See, this is why I don't tell jokes, because it always takes me a year to get it. Okay. But, okay.
The
Junebug
was able to get the soil dug up because he wrote in a letter, that's where I planted the dead bodies.
Got you. So he really didn't. Okay, I got you. I got you. Okay.
Yeah.
I got you.
Junebug wasn't killing, he just got in trouble.
y'all slow but you're worth waiting on.
And the first one,
yeah, that's a,
they was in heaven. They was in paradise, and the punishment was worse than death. And when the first person disappeared, and the second person disappeared, we know not where they went.
Mm-hmm.
So after 100 more years had went by, and the guy wake up one morning, and the most beautiful woman is sitting there, and he's thinking to himself, this is my reward. And she's crying, saying, this is my punishment. because of the duck. So the other two... So what's not stated is the other two men was tied up to some ugly chicks because they stepped on a duck.
Mm-hmm.
And this beautiful lady stepped on a duck, and now she's hooked up with this ugly fella for the rest of her life. Yeah. So
okay.
So be careful when you talk about the ball and chain.
Got you. Okay. So he could mess with her. Okay, got you. She wouldn't mess with him because he was ugly. Okay. Yeah, that.
Yeah,
had me a
she
little
was
confused.
Crying because he was ugly. He was celebrating because she was beautiful.
Oh, got you.
Yeah. Well, okay. Next week I'm going to hold off now, but next week I'm going to tell you guys the joke about the brain.
Oh, wow, I can't wait.
Okay.
Can't wait, I'm going to sleep right now, so I won't miss it.
next week, my son, when I get on the program, I will be a father-in-law. My son will be getting married. My son will be getting married on Saturday. I will be officiating a ceremony.
You want to marry him on the station?
Huh? If
you want to marry
Saturday.
Him on the station?
On Saturday.
We can switch it. he can marry it in front of the world.
We'll record it. It's been recorded. It's going to be on video. So.
I can't wait to see it. I can't wait to see it. Send me a copy.
It's gonna be video, bro. He and his lovely fiance, they've did a lot of planning to get this facility and catered and all of that's going to take place.
The colors are silver and what's a gray silver and Valentine's red.
Amen.
So
that's great.
But this is my oldest son, not my youngest.
Okay, I was about to say, you're not getting married. Okay, this is your oldest son, the one with the new car.
The young son got the new car. The oldest son, he worked for FedEx.
Okay. Well, you know what? I want to thank him because I get all my packages get here on time. So thank him for that.
Yeah, he's a trainer out there now, so lead trainer.
Congratulations!
That's what they do. They train other people how to do what need to be done. And so he's part of that particular part of the staff.
Amen.
Years ago, they tried to get him to be a manager. He didn't want to do it. I said, boy, I don't know many people that turn down good money.
So I need to ask for prayer. For all of us. For mankind, that includes all of us. But my cousin Trish, he's making progress, but last week they was getting ready to call it quits. But right now, he's doing better. They have a trach put in him, and they have a feeding tube. They have a feeding tube for him, and they have to take one of his lungs because, according to the doctors, you can live with one lung, but you can't live with two bad lungs, because I guess the body will be trying to work over.
Okay.
So they're going to take one of the lungs. But he's making progress, so please pray for him and my family. Pray for, you know, my whole family, my mom, my whole family, everybody that's related to me. My friends, pray for them. Pray for Melinda, because it's the second year of her her mom passing. So pray for her. And also on the 15th, I need you to pray, because it'll be 5 years for Papa Six Eyes. So it'll be 5 years of Papa Six Eyes and my sight loss. And pray for creativity for me. And I thank you.
Amen. And we lift all those in the atmosphere of prayer and faith that God will perform according to his word in each of those situations. Only God knows what's best, and he knows how to comfort. He knows how to heal. And he knows how to touch the hands of those that does the healing. And so we pray that God's will be done. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. And it is so. Creativity.
Oh, yeah.
Comes from being unified with God.
All right.
In the message today, when you unify with God, to be in unity with him is to have what you need to go to the next level. So I pray your unity with God. One part of that unity is really just obeying God's word. Being a good steward is really learning how to be obedient. You know, move when he say move, go when he say go, stay when he say stay. And the more you do, the more you listen to the Holy Spirit, the more you'll get directed in the ways that you need to go. And speak the right things, too, because you can't. Oftentimes we're caught up with just saying things that are cliches or statements that is not our real intent.
Mm-hmm.
That we make statements of negativity and not realizing. You say, oh, this stuff is making me sick. You know, we don't realize the implication of the power of the words that we,
mm-hmm.
out of our mouth, we put something in the atmosphere.
Well, right.
The enemy uses what we put out. Again, we are spiritual creatures in a flesh suit. And so when we speak words, those words are spirit. And so
mm-hmm.
those words carry out. And if you keep speaking negative all the time about yourself, then negative things continue to happen around you. And it's,
mm-hmm.
it's not a matter of who did what. It's what you release. And so the Bible said power of life and death lies within your tongue. And so it's in your tongue. Do your power, your life, lies. Not in my tongue, your tongue. So it's what you
mm-hmm.
reach out. So you have to just be mindful that you're speaking success in your life. You're speaking, I can do it. You're speaking, I will do it. You know, and then you do the labor. You do what's needed. You do your part, and you allow God to open the doors. Because I tell you, just here recently, with this lawn service business, God has truly just been blessing and blessing even the more. Every time I turn around, he's giving me new customers or new opportunities to get customers. And a lot of times I'm just trying to help other people.
Mm-hmm. And we do have a wide listenership in Tennessee, so why don't you promote your Vaughn service here on the station so you can get even more.
All right. If you're in the Memphis, Tennessee area or the Olive Branch area, so close to Memphis, or in the Bartlett, Raleigh, Fraser area surrounding Memphis, Collierville, Germantown, and you have a home, and it matters to you how it appears to others, then allow me, Kenneth, to come and to help your home look great. Crosscut lawn and home services available for you. We make it good. You can reach us at 901-335-0515. 901-335-0515.
Mm-hmm.
For all of your lawn, pressure washing, outdoor needs.
All right. Well, thank you, sir. So get your siding clean, get your driveways clean, get that grass cut.
Yeah. Hedges, flower beds, remodel.
Oh, wow.
Okay. We do remodeling flower beds, design flower beds, planting flowers, trees, et cetera. Matter of fact, I got to go cut a Japanese myrtle.
Oh, wow.
Very unique type of leaves on that tree. Got to go cut one back and bring it back up under control. Do crepe myrtles, trim those, so on and so forth.
Okay.
So, sodding, mulching, et cetera.
Amen. Okay. Well, definitely give him a try. And also, good news, the Blind Trucking is in service, and they're busy, so that's a good thing.
Amen.
Yeah.
Man, if they were close to me, I'd have them to help me do this other cleanup job where we have to haul away the material that's being picked up from the backyard. They're doing away with a old above ground pool, and so I gotta cut down the trees that was around it. What they call tire trikes, which is logs that was built around it. Cut those up and move those out. So there's some work. Like I say, every time I turn around, I'm getting more and more work to do. So the Lord is good. He's kind. And so we're thankful. This is the day. This is the day. Let
today,
the Lord, I will rejoice and be glad in it. This is today. Well, you know what, Sister Ruth, you didn't give us. We were so caught up in our little amusement that we forgot to get our pepper trap.
Oh, pepper trap.
We forgot to do our Bible trivia. So are you still with us?
Yeah, she's here. Hold on.
Tomorrow at 9 p.m., make sure you check out Pastor Kenneth Bonnet for Motivational Monday on the Six Eyes Radio Network. This dial 424-243-9617. Motivational Monday, Sergeant Maria Price.
I am here.
All right. We apologize. We got so excited doing that other thing, we almost forgot the word.
Okay, so what we have here is, go ahead. I have it. Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones. For I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. Anybody need it again?
Yeah. Is that in Matthew?
Yeah, it is.
Wow.
He probably knows where.
Knows.
Say it again.
I can do it again.
Yes, please.
Okay. Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven.
That's not it. That's not where I thought it was. Either that or I'm just overlooking. Is it Matthew chapter 5?
A little bit farther than that.
Okay,
but you're getting warm.
That's not it. What I thought it was.
Don't worry about it. Like,
huh.
You know, Kenny, I bet six does. Who knows?
That I don't have. All right. I don't have it.
Okay, so give it to me if you want. I give it to you if you want it.
Uh-huh.
Matthew 18:10. I told you it wasn't Matthew. Not complicated. No.
Matthew 18:6-10, I mean.
18:10. Here. Okay, this one next one if you guys want it. And then I have a crazy joke, too. It'll end the program, and you can always pray, too. But you'll like this ending. It's kind of cute.
Come on with it.
Yeah, Matthew 18:10 was today's time. Yeah, if you guys want the one for next. You guys will have fun with it, I'm sure.
That's good. That's good.
You guys are ready. I got it. Some in them. Then I want you another one for next time. I don't know why I'm tired today. I must be getting older. That's it. If you guys are ready, I'll get it to you.
Uh-huh.
Okay, I got it. And Manoah arose and went after his wife and came to the man and said unto him, art thou the man that speaketh unto the woman? And he said, I am. And I can slow down again if you want it.
I say one more time.
And Manoah arose and went.
Okay, got it.
After his wife, and came to the man, and said unto him, art thou the man that spakest unto the woman? And he said, I am. Now, if you guys want this funny joke, I think Six heard this one before, but I don't know if you ever have. If you guys are ready.
Yes, we're ready.
My dear son, just a few lines to let you know that I'm still alive. I'm writing this letter slowly, as I know you can't read fast. You won't know the house where you come home because we've moved. I'm sorry. It's hard to keep a straight face. This is a good guy. Who wrote this? It was a lot of trouble. Moving. The most difficult thing was the bed. You see, the man wouldn't let us take it in the taxi. It wouldn't have been so bad if your father hadn't been in it all the time. About your father, he has a lovely new job, and he has 500 people under him. He's cutting grass in the cemetery. I like the writer of this guy. It's really pretty cool. Our neighbor started raising pigs. We got wind of it this morning. I got my appendix out and a dishwasher put in. There was a washing machine in the new house we moved in, but it's not working too much. Last week, I put 4 shirts in it, pulled the chain, and I haven't received this shirt since. I tell you why I'm laughing later, because there's a reason. I actually got a washer and dryer new, and this is cute. Your little brother came home from school yesterday crying. All the boys at his school have got new suits. We can't afford to buy him a new suit, but we're going to buy him a little hat. Let him stand at the window. Your sister Mary had a baby this morning. I haven't heard it yet, if it's a boy or a girl, so I don't know if you're an aunt or an uncle. Uncle Dick was drowned last week in a vat of whiskey in the brewery. Four of his fork mates dive in to save him, but he fought them off bravely. We cremated his body, and it took 3 days to put out the fire. I went to the doctor on Thursday. Your father went with me. The doctor put a small glass tube in his... Okay. To keep it shut. There's something here they marked out. Your dad offered to buy it from him. It only rained twice last week, 4 to 5 days, then for 3. Monday was so windy, one of our chickens laid the same egg 4 times. We had a letter from the undertaker. He said if the last installment on your grandmother's isn't paid in 7 days, up she comes. I can't help it. That is good. That's crazy.
Hello.
I'm most close for now. Your mother, loving mother, and P.S., I'm going to send you $10 because I already sealed the envelope. I mean, I needed this kind of a joke today. I don't know. I've got several copies of it. My family kept this among their memoirs. I got so many crazy jokes. I've got one Kenny would love to do sometime for you, honey, about the Roadkill Cafe, but I don't know if some people would think it was a little
Roadkill
crazy.
Roadkill Cafe.
Okay. He said, hold on. It's okay. We'll come with that one till next time, probably. Yeah, I'm just kind of chilling out now. Well, I think that was a cool idea to have funny jokes for the show. Oh, that would do it. That definitely would do it. I've got that paper. I think I stuck that in the thing to go with me. I'm hoping. Yeah, I did pay for Emily. She called me today. Something about, I think it was her father's relative. I think it was a great aunt or something. She's passed away now. It's just, I mean, I'm constantly putting stuff on our website for prayer. We got Kenny's family. There's a bunch of people died there. I don't even know a Shirley Wolfgang. There was some other people that in his side of the family I've never met, but you know, it was in the newspaper. So hopefully they were saved. I don't really know much of his family. I know his mom and dad, you know, and I know his brother and sister, some of them. One of them got saved, though, and got children and had a nice wife now. And that's a wonderful report that Jamie, last I knew, is now saved. He has his own car shop. He used to be messed up in the world some, and I'm just glad he's saved. Okay. That's good. You got something, honey? Because I've got to get a phone on charge is why you had a little pause there. Our phone has been charged for 7 hours. So I'm here, and if he wants to talk, I'll have to bring it to him.
All right. Well, people, I got to run. I enjoyed you all. Looking forward to seeing you all on tomorrow night, those that can join us. And I got a lot to get done.
You sound like you're too busy, bud.
I've been busy, but I'm trying to learn how to space my time out so I can get some good rest.
That's what's wrong with us. I think we've just been rather hither and yon, but you know, the Lord's blessing us, so we're still going. You know how it goes. You all have a blessed day with the Lord.
Amen. God bless you all. Love you all. Y'all take care. Maybe have traveling mercy as you travel, and you all take care. Have a wonderful, wonderful evening.
I just gave this if you wanted it. Huh? All
right.
You could still say hi.
All right. Talk to you all later. Be blessed.
God bless.